Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. I want to follow up on yesterday's appearance by former Reagan Navy Secretary and former Democratic U.S. Senator Jim Webb here on the program, in which he confirmed that he is thinking about challenging Hillary Clinton in the 2016 Democratic primaries for president. Dave Weigel from Slate will help us with this. He posted a piece called The Ludicrous James Webb Boomlet. Hi, Dave. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
And before we drill down on Ludicrous and Boomlet, here's my exchange with Webb yesterday about his plans. This is the very end of the interview, about a minute in our short answer, soft core lightning round, as we call it. This begins with my question. You got pressed recently for not ruling out a run for president in 2016. Do you want to reaffirm that not ruling out today or close the door?
Well, you know, what I was saying, and I hold to this, is that when I left the Senate, I said that I was going to take a year and do no interviews, no editorials, and no political events to sort of regain my political independence and focus on the book. And now I'm ready to step back in and start getting involved in the issues again. And I'm looking forward to doing that.
So possibly. Would you rule out a run if Hillary Clinton does run?
I'm taking this a day at a time, and I'm back talking about issues and looking forward to helping people.
How much of a Hillary fan are you or not?
I have respect for what Hillary Clinton has done.
Keep going.
I thought you said these were short answers.
All right. That's all we'll get for now, I guess. From Democratic Virginia Senator, former Democratic Virginia Senator Jim Webb on yesterday's show, Dave Weigel from Slate here live on Today's. So, Dave, why did you dismiss this right in the headline of your piece as a ludicrous Jim Webb boomlet?
Well, I was pretty deterministic about it. I feel that the Democratic primary electorate has a contour we know pretty well from 2008. If anything, it is a little bit less inclined to vote for someone like Jim Webb than it was then, than it's ever been. His appeal in 2006, and it was broad, it was from the left to the center, to the independents who elected him, was as a old-style populist Southern white Democrat who was progressive. I guess that's probably the, he would use populist instead, but not progressive on economic issues, but traditional on, I think, you know, traditional to roles in society. I mean, he was most famous during the campaign, didn't end up hurting him, but most famous for opposing women in combat when he was. Actually, when he was Navy Secretary and before.
Did he evolve on that issue, by the way? I think that's one of the, the famous Jim Webb moments for people who followed his career. But that was 1979 when he wrote that article called Why Women Can't Fight.
He was. I'm just saying if you are creating a bionic man, creating a candidate to run against Hillary Clinton, there are aspects you want them to have in order to appeal to this electorate. You want them to appeal to the large urban and southern African American population that he did pretty well against, but actually, you know, less. George Allen got more of the African American vote than McCain or Romney did later. He wants somebody who does not send women hurtling to Hillary. But the whole thing, the thing that frustrated me, I wrote in the Post just because I've got this cottage industry of explaining why people can't be natural challengers to Clinton. The problem with the way this has been covered so far, and I really would like to talk to the guy to tease this out, is he does have a critique of politics that I think of politics and Democratic Party that was interesting, that is targeted at the sort of Democrats who ran the party in the late 90s, i.e. the Clintons, i.e. the Rubens, saying that they did too much in the service of donors and Wall Street, too little in the service of the middle class. In the Senate, he did maintain that direction and vision for the party, but he didn't do much to change it. I mean, he was there when Democrats needed him on the health care law, though he was criticizing the timing of the vote. He was there when they needed him on a couple of key tax votes. He definitely has an interesting critique of what is right now the default Democratic policy. But he just isn't. He's not really a natural candidate to challenge Hillary Clinton, and almost nobody is. I mean, the country is not full of talented African American politicians who are from a state that borders the first caucus state. We had one of those. So.
Listeners, we can take your phone calls on the appearance yesterday by James Webb. this talk of presidential politics in 2016 generally. And, you know, we don't do much of this here, not yet, because I think it's a silly media parlor game that just sensationalizes everything for the most part. But it just so happens that we had former Senator Webb on the show yesterday because his new memoir is out. And he, at the same time this week, dropped this little bombshell-lette that he is considering running in the Democratic primaries. So there it was. And he reaffirmed it here. So let's talk about it. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Dave Weigel, Slate political reporter, who wrote up his other appearance earlier in the week on the Diane Rehm Show, in which this conversation started. He also hosts the Weigelcast podcast. And I want to play another moment from his visit yesterday that I'm curious to get your take on, Dave. Maybe I framed this inelegantly, I don't know, to him, but I tried to give him an opportunity to claim some unique political middle ground that he might be able to claim if he's trying to make a run sort of to Hillary's right and then as a strong candidate in a general election. And he, for whatever reason, did not seize it. Give me your take on this. And again, this begins with my question. And I think it's fair to say you're kind of a political missing link, a Democrat who comes from a more conservative Scots-Irish stock, which you wrote a whole book about as the heritage of our cultural conservatives in this country. Can you give me your take on the best of both sides? Like, what don't the liberals and conservatives get about each other that is the value of each? Is that an impossible question?
Well, I think this. Both parties in their base have moved to unfortunate extremes in the nominating base and these sorts of things. And I think I'm part of a very large group in this country who really doesn't fit comfortably into either of the definitions of the base of both parties.
And that was all he wanted to say about that then. But then later again, I invite him to a similar place with a slightly different question. What do you think about your own party has gone the most awry?
I think both parties are too beholden on the financial sector for their elections and re-elections. Mm. And we need to have this discussion. We're seeing it a little bit, but we need to have this discussion about how a small sliver of our country has moved away from everyone else. It's no longer the two Americas, or the rich versus the poor. It's the middle class, the small businesses, the working people carrying the load while the people at the very top have found ways to move away.
Again, James Webb on yesterday's show. And Dave Weigel, interestingly, he went to that anti-bank populism that you were discussing a minute
right.
ago. I guess if he'd be running as a centrist, he didn't want to do it in the way that I framed it or the way that I saw it framed on the Fox News website, honestly, which said he would be running in the primaries to Hillary Clinton's right. Maybe that's just not the way to put it.
Well, more than that, I guess what I was mentioning before were the demographics of a challenge like this, and the fact that there's just it's tough to convince a Democratic electorate, which is going to be mostly female, and in many places not very white, that it should reject the Clintons, who it's very fond of. You can make the argument that the Clintons need to get back in sync with a Democratic Party that started off frustrated with Barack Obama's approach to Wall Street and has gotten more frustrated, and this is actually a real roiling question in progressive circles. How do you make the party bow to that when you've got the front runners who don't have to fear any primary challengers? Do you change their opinions? Do you move them in the direction you want by running any kind of challenger? The only example I can think, I guess the most recent example of somebody running a campaign that did spook the front runner but it didn't actually change his policies, was, you know, Pat Buchanan running against George H.W. Bush in mm-hmm. 1992, running and winning no states. You know, Bill Bradley did something similar to Gore. Sometimes you can run and threaten somebody and make them change their position on, in this case, let's say foreclosures, let's say whether to raise the cap on Social Security taxes. Some of the things progressives talk about. How do you do that? Do you do it by talking about running for president? Really not clear. I mean, having Webb's voice in the conversation at all is an improvement for progressives. But you see what happens when we're not talking about Jim Webb. If we're talking about Democratic Party politics, we're just really talking about the stagecraft and almost royal family nature of the Clintons, you know, Chelsea's baby. It's hard for progressives to get a discussion of what the party should stand for without a presidential candidate, which is just kind of a flaw of the way I think the politics is covered. You know, so good for Webb for trying it. The mechanics are not there to make her fear him enough to change.
You're listening to WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJO 90.3 Toms River, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJP 88.5 Sussex, New York and New Jersey Public Radio. As Dave Weigel from Slate is with us on former Senator James Webb's appearance here yesterday, teasing everybody with possibly running as, I guess, an anti-Banks candidate against Hillary Clinton in the Democratic presidential primaries. 212-433-WNYC, if you want to get in on this, 433-9692. And Jonathan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Okay.
So I am thrilled that Jim Webb is considering throwing his hat in the ring. I am probably farther left than most people in the Democratic Party, and that might come as a surprise that I'd support him, but here's a military man who has criticized perma-war. He is coming out against the big banks. Clinton's notoriously for big banks, and she is going to have to distance herself from NAFTA, never mind all the banking things that Obama has been trying with the Pacific Trade deal and all of these things that undermine common people in the name of big business and promoting international oligarchy is all I can really call it. And you got to fire up the real base if you're going to win again, because they're really disheartened after Obama. They've been pretty betrayed, unless you're an African-American and you obviously have reasons for pride for Obama. But we need to push that conversation, because the people are not thrilled about Hillary. Now, the great thing about her, she's a woman, she's strong, she's a good leader, she's got lots of pluses for her. And personality-wise, actually, despite what the people on the right think, she's really strong. People like her personality, but her policies just promote, they're really right of center. And that is where we have a real problem if we're going to win anything. I think the midterms are going to be disastrous, and people are really disheartened at Obama's policies and are going to have a hard time on the left supporting him. Occupy Wall Street movement's been decimated, mm-hmm. They've been tromped on. And somebody who's going to push the conversation left and not as extreme as Bernie, where I love Bernie Sanders, but let's face it, America's not ready for the truth.
Right. Interested in Jim Webb for all those reasons. Jonathan, really interesting. Thank you. Though I would say, I think it's a little unfair to say that Obama is only supported by African Americans now and for identity reasons. I think other progressives have reasons that they think Obama is trying to do the right thing, even if not succeeding in a lot of ways. But Dave Weigel from Slate, it's interesting. Why aren't we talking about the senator from Massachusetts instead of the former senator from Virginia? Is it because Elizabeth Warren is just definitely not going to run?
Because she's already said as much a few times. I mean, I think we're looking at the shiny new thing. Although, since you bring that up, Warren is only a little bit younger than Hillary Clinton. Webb is about 18 months older than her. And this is another problem that for Democrats, Republicans don't have, is that they are working through the last class of baby boomers before their younger generation runs for president. So Obama, even though he is one of the last rung of the baby boomers, being born in 1961, there's not even the generational appeal that you had that pulled some voters away from Hillary. But what your caller is talking about, I think that's important, and I keep referring to what progressives want the party to stand for and how they can shift it in that direction. They talk about a few specific issues. I think they talk about protecting public worker pensions. They talk about expanding Social Security, like I said. It's been tough for them to expand that from the House Progressive Caucus and from some successes in the states to something they can force Democrats to run on. And you compare that to Republicans. Republicans, after many, many years of organizing and after conservatives being just driving the party and taking over the party in basically every state, you know, you can't run for office as a Republican, can't run for president as a Republican without agreeing to some things that are far right of what George Bush ran on in 2000. You can't support the Export-Import Bank is my favorite current example. You have to be critical of Common Core education. You can't support immigration reform the way Bush did. So how do progressives get the Democratic conversation in the terms they want, force it to those terms. One way is talking about presidential candidates, where that they're just, because they're not credible yet, there's, I'd say, maybe I'm talking down to it too much, because Clinton has so far has only been participating with, sort of against her will in some soft coverage, but also has given some policy speeches where she has been critical of the progress of the NRA, and where she has been a bit more critical of Wall Street. That's all they've gotten so far. I think they need to establish more demands and more policy planks before the election. An example I'd point to is Democrats got gay marriage endorsed in the Democratic Party platform in advance of Barack Obama endorsing it. So they need to organize on those levels and not quite be distracted by a presidential candidate maybe running, because if they don't run, then it looks like there is no momentum for what they stand for.
Kathleen in Madison, New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Hi, Kathleen.
Good morning. I have basically a distillation of what I perceive to be the fundamental questions in politics. The first is, who wants what? The second is, who gets what? And the third is, who pays for it? And I think that the difference between our political parties boils down to the last question, the differences in the perception of who pays for what. So the overarching question is, do we share? Or do we provide a system in which everyone can sort of get a chance to pull their own weight? I think it's the interface between those two really difficult perspectives that gives us the kind of friction that we see increasingly in a society where we have to share. But as Margaret Thatcher said, at some point you run out of other people's money. And on the other hand, it seems that the system is increasingly rigged so that the hardworking middle class and the people at the bottom have fewer opportunities to pull their own way to make a difference.
Kathleen, a very interesting statement of the conundrums and where the parties are coming from. And Dave, I wonder if you think that the central question in the election of 2016, unless something really changes, unless we're attacked or something like that, that the central question, not just for Democratic primary voters, but for the general election, will be income inequality, stagnant wages, maybe immigration and health care, and how we get out of that box, especially about inequality and stagnation.
Yes, and this is an interesting challenge for the Clintons, because in 2008, when Hillary ran, there was more raw emotion about the foreign policy decisions of the Clintons, less about the economics. I think in the collective memory of America, only remember the 90s as a buoyant and somewhat wasted era of prosperity. I always remember in George W. Bush's RNC speech when he was nominated, mentioned that prosperity, but his point was, to what end? We didn't use it the right way. In 2016, because of a lot of new history that's been told of the financial crisis, there are more memories of the Clinton era as a period when wages were fairly stagnant. You even got former Clintonites like Robert Reich who said this, and where banks were deregulated to a level that they could get away with tricks that none of us who are not banks could, creating securities that they could then peddle even though they knew they were worthless, things like that. The Clintons have been given ownership of that in the Democratic political memory, and they need to deal with that. And progressives need the Democratic Party to promise to reform that, but in a way that appeals to the greatest number of voters. I mean, when Al Gore ran, and then in the two Clinton runs, they've gotten a bit more populist, but they haven't acted that way in office. And there is a space on the other side for Republicans to take that mantle. Democrats don't take it seriously at all. They don't think they have the credibility. But there's going to be a fight for that. Well, there wasn't a fight in 2008. There was no one could seriously argue that the 90s weren't a great economic era. Now they can. Now they can look at the data in different ways, and the Clintons need to deal with that.
So last thing, if Jim Webb decides to actually go for this and try to mount a serious challenge based on campaign finance and the banks against Hillary Clinton, how does he raise the money to do it? Because isn't that where the money comes from, and you need a lot of money to run for president these days, not to mention to run against the deep-pocketed Clinton machine?
You do, and that's another problem. The advantage, and this is the irony of the Obama 2008 campaign that I think only poor John Edwards pointed out. Not that I think he's poor and underrated, but you know, a bit of a tragic figure at this point. Obama was competitive because he appealed to some Democratic constituencies and some constituencies like the banks, like Goldman Sachs, et cetera. I mean, he pitched to Wall Street, and at that point in time had support from Wall Street that was anti-Clinton. There is no Democrat running on the message that's popular among progressives that would do that. And I just kind of keep getting back to the same point. I feel like there's maybe a missed opportunity in 2014 for Democrats to force their candidates to, I'd say, the left is such a limiting term, but to the left on these issues.
To the economic populist position.
Right. They're trying to get their candidates to agree to these things. And you have people like Sherrod Brown running around saying they should be for more. Well, you have Sherrod Brown and Elizabeth Warren, I should say, running around and campaigning on these things. But you don't have the Democrats who are key in the states they need to win defending that anymore. You don't have Mark Pryor and Mary Landrieu and the rest of these Democrats running on more progressive messages. So how do you then convince the party that the 2016 campaign should be fought on those?
Dave Weigel, political reporter for Slate and host of the Weigelcast podcast. His piece relevant to Jim Webb's appearance here yesterday is called The Ludicrous Jim Webb Boomlet. He's got a lot of other interesting political posts in the last few days on Slate. Dave, thanks a lot.
Thank you.